All right, so get this. Imagine you're at Six Flags, right? And you're psyched about getting a season pass, but then, bam, they hit you with a fingerprint scan. Kind of cool, kind of creepy, don't you think? Well, that seemingly small act actually sparked a huge legal battle that's got everyone talking about data privacy.
It really highlights how sensitive this kind of information is. You know, we're talking about your fingerprints, your face scans, your iris patterns, stuff that's literally a part of you. You know what I mean? And once that data's out there, it's out there for good. You can't just change your fingerprint like you change a password.
No kidding. It's not like you can just hit reset on your biometrics,
Yeah.
right? But so what happened with the Six Flags thing?
Well, this woman, Stacy Rosenbach, she took Six Flags to court after her son got his fingerprint scanned for a season pass. And here's the kicker. They didn't get her consent. No explanation of how that data would be used. Nothing. Total violation of the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act, or BIPA, as we call it in the biz.
Ugh. Ah, BIPA. It's been making headlines all over. But I gotta admit, sometimes legal jargon can feel like a foreign language. Can you give us the BIPA lowdown in plain English? What does it actually say?
Sure. BIPA basically lays down the law for companies dealing with biometric data. First off, they need to get your informed consent in writing before they collect anything. No sneaky fine print or anything. You got to know exactly what they're taking and how they plan to use it. They also have to tell you how long they'll be holding on to that data and have a clear plan for destroying it securely. And get this, they can't just go and sell or trade your biometric information for a profit.
So in this Six Flags case, they basically threw the whole BIPA rulebook out the window.
Pretty much, yeah. They weren't even trying to be subtle about it. And these violations can come with some pretty hefty penalties, you know? What's really interesting is that this whole thing went all the way up to the Illinois Supreme Court. And the court basically said, look, if you violate BIPA, you're in trouble, period. They actually used the term aggrieved just by breaking the law, even without proof of harm.
Hold on. So you're telling me you don't even need to show that you were actually harmed to sue? Just that the law was broken.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Huge deal. Sent shockwaves through the business world because now companies can't just shrug off these BIPA violations. The stakes are a lot higher now.
I bet there were some panicked corporate lawyers out there after that ruling. But what was the court's logic behind all this? Why take such a strong stance?
Right, so their reasoning was actually really interesting. They basically said the whole point of BIPA is to stop harm before it even happens. It's like putting up guardrails in a dangerous road. You don't wait for someone to go flying off the edge before you put those safety measures in place. So BIPA, it's like a preventative measure, you know, designed to keep that biometric data safe from the get-go.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not about waiting for a data breach or, you know, someone's identity being stolen. It's about stopping that stuff from happening in the first place.
Exactly. And they also argued that losing control over your own biometric data, that in itself is a harm. They even compared it to trespassing. You know, even if someone walks onto your property and doesn't wreck anything, your rights have still been violated because you've lost control of your own space.
Wow. So they're basically saying your biometric data is like your personal property, like your house or something. You have the right to decide who gets access to it. And if a company violates that right, they're basically barging in uninvited.
Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful statement. Okay, so it's pretty clear that companies can't just ignore BIPA anymore, right? But let's talk brass tacks here. What does this actually mean for businesses that are, you know, collecting this kind of biometric data? Like, what do they got to do to stay on the right side of the law and avoid a lawsuit?
Well, this Rosenbach case was like a huge wake-up call for a lot of companies. You know, it made them realize, hey, we got to get our act together when it comes to this biometric data stuff.
Right. So, walk me through this. What's like the BIPA compliance checklist? Where do they even start?
Okay, so first things first, they got to make sure they're getting proper consent from people. And I don't mean just any consent, it's got to be informed consent in writing from every single person whose data they're collecting.
So none of those like sneaky click to agree boxes buried in a wall of text, right?
Exactly. Transparency is key here, you know. People need to know exactly what information is being collected, how it's going to be used, how long it's going to be stored, and they got to have a genuine choice in the matter.
It's like if you're having surgery, right? You wouldn't just go under the knife without knowing what they're going to do and giving your explicit permission.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. And it doesn't stop there, you know. Once they have the data, companies have to have like super tight security measures in place to protect it. We're talking encryption, secure servers, the whole shebang.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, this is really sensitive stuff we're talking about. If it falls into the wrong hands, things could get really messy.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about data retention policies either. BIPA says companies got to specify how long they're going to keep that biometric data and have a solid plan for destroying it securely when they don't need it anymore. No more just holding on to it forever, just in case.
So it's like a spring cleaning for data, right? Get rid of what you don't need. Make sure what you keep is locked up tight.
That's a good way to put it. And there's another wrinkle here too. A lot of companies rely on outside vendors for things like data storage and processing, right?
Oh, so it's not just about getting your own house in order. You got to make sure your partners are playing by the rules too.
Exactly. Companies got to do their homework, and make sure those third-party vendors are also BIPA compliant. And that means having strong contracts that lay out exactly who's responsible for what when it comes to data privacy.
So it's really about taking a comprehensive approach to this whole data privacy thing, right? Covering all your bases, from the initial collection to storage to destruction, and making sure everyone involved is following the rules.
You got it. And it's not a one-time thing either. The legal landscape is always changing, so companies got to keep up with the latest developments and update their practices accordingly. It's an ongoing process.
Sounds like a lot of work, to be honest.
Yeah.
No wonder data privacy specialists are in such high demand these days.
Yeah, it's a hot career path right now, and for good reason, the stakes are high, and the legal consequences can be pretty serious.
So, okay, let's zoom out a bit. We've been focused on Illinois and BIPA, but you mentioned other states are starting to catch on, right? What can you tell us about that?
Oh yeah, this Rosenbach case, it really shook things up across the country, It really put a spotlight on the whole issue of biometric privacy, and lawmakers in other states were like, "Wait a minute, we need to get on board with this too." So now we're seeing this ripple effect with more and more states passing their own biometric privacy laws.
So it's like Illinois is leading the pack and everyone else is trying to keep up.
That's a good way to put it. And while a lot of these laws are based on BIPA, there are some differences, Some states are even stricter, while others are a little bit more lenient.
So it's like a patchwork of regulations all over the country.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. But the trend is clear. Biometric privacy is becoming a big priority for lawmakers everywhere.
Which is good news for us consumers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's about time we got some legal protection when it comes to this incredibly sensitive data.
Absolutely. And it's not just about laws, We're also seeing people becoming more aware of this whole biometric privacy thing. They're starting to ask questions, read the fine print, and demand more control over their own data.
So it's becoming less of a niche issue and more of a mainstream concern.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between the benefits of new technology and the fundamental right to privacy. And that's a conversation we need to keep having.
We've covered a lot of ground here, with the legal stuff and everything, but I think it's time to kind of like zoom out and think about the bigger picture. I mean, it feels like this biometric technology is just like exploding, advancing so fast.
It really is. And it's becoming like more and more embedded in our lives. I mean, think about it. We're already using our fingerprints to unlock our phones, our faces to pay for stuff, our voices to talk to our smart devices.
Yeah, it's kind of wild when you think about it. Like something straight out of a sci-fi movie, right? And it makes you wonder, like, where is all of this headed?
Right. And it's not just about what we can do with technology, it's about what we should do. You know what I mean? We need to be thinking about the ethical implications of all this biometric data being collected and used.
Okay, so let's talk about the ethics then. What are some of the downsides here? What do we need to be thinking about?
Well, one of the big worries is, discrimination and bias. We've already seen cases where facial recognition technology, for example, has been used in ways that, unfairly target certain groups or perpetuate existing inequalities.
That's a pretty scary thought. It's like technology just reinforcing the biases we already have in society.
Exactly. And then there's the whole surveillance aspect and the erosion of privacy. As biometric technology becomes more widespread, it becomes easier to track people's movements, monitor their behavior, even predict what they're going to do. That's a lot of power in the hands of governments and corporations.
Yeah, it's like we're sleepwalking in some kind of dystopian future where every move is being watched and analyzed.
It's a real possibility if we're not careful, And the thing is, once this data is out there, it's super hard to control or erase. Unlike a password, you can't just change your fingerprint or your face.
That's what makes this so like unsettling. It
Yeah.
feels like we're losing control over something that's like a fundamental part of who we are.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to have these like open and honest conversations about the ethical side of biometric technology. We need to be thinking about what kind of future we want and what safeguards we need to put in place to protect our like basic rights and freedoms.
Right. So it's not just about the laws, it's about the bigger picture, you know, the societal and ethical stuff too. But let's be real, what can we actually do about all this? It feels like such a huge, complex issue.
It is complex, yeah. But that doesn't mean we're powerless. The first step is awareness. You know, the more we understand about this technology, how it works, the potential risks, the better equipped we'll be to make smart decisions about how we interact with it.
So basically educating ourselves, reading the fine print, asking questions, not just like blindly accepting the latest gadget or service without thinking about the consequences.
Exactly. And we got to be having these conversations on a larger scale too, you know, with our families, friends, even our elected officials. We need to be pushing for stronger privacy protections, holding companies accountable, and making sure our values are reflected in how this technology is developed and used.
So it's about individual action, but also collective action, like shaping the rules of the game and making sure technology serves us, not the other way around.
You said it. The future of biometric technology is still being written, and we all have a part to play in shaping it.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive. It's clear that biometric technology is here to stay, but the choices we make now will determine whether it's a force for good or, you know, something that erodes our freedoms.
I think that's a great point. We need to approach this technology with like a critical eye, a healthy dose of skepticism, and a real commitment to protecting our privacy and autonomy.
Well, to all our listeners out there, we hope this deep dive has given you something to think about. The future of biometric technology is in our hands. Let's make sure we handle it wisely.